Time for a start of Sunday morning worship service. If you would, take your songbooks and turn to 197. 197, Brother Andrew will be leading our singing here in just a couple of moments. It's good to have everyone here this morning, our guests. Glad to see you here. You're our honored guest. Hope you'll come back anytime and every time that you are in the area. Members on the sick list, Hannah's homesick, so Mark Payson is home with her, so we will remember Hannah on our prayer. Out of town, Samantha and Oliver went to Indianapolis, so we'll remember them while they're out of town as well. The Wednesday invitation this coming week will be by Brother Warren Wright. Then we'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. and then Wednesday night at 7 p.m. The order of services this morning, Brother Mike will have our opening prayer. Communion be by Brother Warren and Jesse. Of course, Andrew will have the song lead. Chuck will be bringing us our lesson. Then Brother Dave will have our closing prayer. For the teachers, the new quarter will start on April 6th. There are some books on the back table, so if you're teaching the next quarter, be sure and get your books back there. And also, I believe the Wednesday before the 6th, there'll be a, if you're teaching then, that'll be a review period before that new quarter starts. And also, Brother Barn Gavins wanted to let us know that we've reached a pretty good milestone. We now have over 100 bulletins being mailed out now. So that is good. It is strong. So I'll turn the services over to Andrew, and then we'll meet again this evening at 4 p.m.
Number 197. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after my
Amen. Do the things that we need to do to take the gospel to the lost souls, that are in the area. Probably recognize that from time to time, we do sin, we fall short of the Lord, we pray for forgiveness of those things as you're, you know, then we stand before you with clean hands and pure heart. We can strive to live each day better devoted to you, that we can that others might see Christ living through us. We pray that as we come in contact with others out in the world, and follow us to never pass up an opportunity to teach those that we have contact with. Father, we pray your blessings upon Tim and Chuck as they shepherd this congregation, as elders, be with them and decisions they make, give them wisdom and things they have to deal with. Help us and Father's members here to be submissive to those things as long as they're according to your word. Father, we know that we make it through this day, that as we go out into the coming week, we allow time to go on. Be with us, Heavenly Father, help us to live lives that are bold, boldly devoted to you, that whether we go to school or work or wherever it might be, help us, Heavenly Father, not to compromise our principles and truth, and always live in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, once again, we're thankful for the time that we can be here this morning. We pray that you can go with us through the further exercises of this hour, and the things that we do, be found in accordance with you will. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
The next song selected, number 645, is to help continue with the thought of the main, one of the main reasons why we're here this morning in worship with God. It is remembering of this on sacrifice. Number 645. I would ask that we would sing all of the verses before going into the chorus. So we'll only sing the chorus at the very end.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear is at best for a world of lost sinners once slain.
worship, we recognize and celebrate the institution of the supper that our Jesus, Lord and Savior, instituted on that night. So if you will, turn to the familiar passage of Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." It's important for us to remember the importance of the event that took place at this time. Thoughts come into our mind sometimes of why would he have to do this? He did it through his obedience to the Father, and he did it because of mankind. He did it for all, not just a few, but one for all. So as we go through this period of worship where we celebrate the emblems of his death, we need to remember that it is a communion with our Lord's body and with his blood that he sacrificed on that cross for each and every one. Pray with me, if you will. Our God and Father, we pray that your blessing would be upon this bread, which to us as Christians is a communion with our Lord's body that he willingly sacrificed upon that cross for the sins of man. Our prayer is, Lord, that those who partake this morning will do so in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable to you. Now we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Continue our thanks. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once more at this time for the blood that was shed on our behalf. It was a perfect sacrifice, and we pray that right now, reflect on that we realize how much of a sacrifice that was, and that we live our lives in a manner that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This time, when we enter into the portion of our worship service, where we have an opportunity for we who are members here at North of at River Ridge to give of our means for the work that's being done here. We're not soliciting funds from any visitors with us today, but you're welcome to give if you wish. Let us pray. Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we've had to earn a living, Lord, and to set aside portions of what we have, Lord, to do your work. Our prayer is that we continue to use those monies to edify the work that's being done, Lord, to encourage others to turn to you. We pray especially for our elders who have responsibilities to do those things. Now be with us at this time that we offer this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
At this time, if you'd like to mark in your song books to number 272, that's the song selected for the invitation after Brother Chuck's lesson this morning. Number 272. Now, if you've already done so, you can turn to number 225. Number 225. The thought process of trying to come up with this morning with song selection was an attempt to try to follow up with the Bible study that we had this morning, especially on the fact of trying to asking prayers and trying to tell God that we need Him near in our lives and that we need to have Him every step of the way and have our lives dedicated to Him. And that is not possible through the sacrifice of His Son, and that we are pressing on to a goal, and that and that goal is to be in heaven with them for all eternity. Number 225.
Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven. Heaven holds all to me.
see everyone else this morning. Kurt, take over your Bibles. Going to Acts, the 8th chapter. In just a moment, we'll read from that chapter, Acts chapter 8. What does the Bible teach about wearing a head covering? You say, why are we turning to Acts chapter 8? Well, because that's tonight's sermon. It's the head covering. Acts chapter 8 is what we're talking about this morning. But I just wanted to let you know what we're going to be discussing for the evening service. But the weather still just rained, so it's not so bad. Okay, in Acts chapter 8, I want to begin reading in verse 27. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 8. Listen carefully. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. Sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, so see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I want to talk about this particular passage today, but just a lot of great lessons when we think about this person who traveled to Jerusalem to worship. Worshiping God is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, a lot of people think worshiping God is enough. But I want us to glean some great things that we can learn from this man, when he learned what was important to him, that we can learn, that's important to us too, that's found and taught within the Word of God. And the first thing that I want to suggest to you is that this man was from Ethiopia. Distance was not that important to him when it came to worship. You'd be amazed of how important that is for some people. If distance is involved, I'm not worshiping God. I want it around the corner. I want it close. I want it near. You know, it's really that concept that got Israel in trouble. If you'll go back to the Old Testament for a moment, and it's something that, you know, a person used as leverage to try to influence people not to serve the Lord. It worked in Old Testament, it works in New Testament times. In 1 Kings chapter 12, listen to this beginning and in verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there, and he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set one up in Bethel, and the other was put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin before the people went to worship before the one that was in Dan. And then you continue on in there. Sets up these idols. Hey, don't go down to Jerusalem. I don't want you going down to Jerusalem. I'm going to make it easier. It's too far for you to go down there. So I'm going to set these idols up and go there. These are the gods that took you out of the land. No, it wasn't. But he used that as a ploy. It's close. It's near. And this person understood that when it came to worshiping, it wasn't just a matter of convenience. If you get a chance, you might want to look in your back of your Bibles if you've got one of those maps. Get an idea of, well, where was this? Well, go, you know, you go from Jerusalem, and you travel down into the Mediterranean, you go over to Egypt. I'm just giving you I'm not saying that's the way he traveled, I'm just giving you the picture. Go over to Egypt, and then go straight down. And you go down, and then you get to Ethiopia. I mean, in other words, it wasn't right there, okay, that this individual traveled to worship. It always impressed me when people understood the importance of putting God first, and it didn't seem that much of a big deal. I can remember talking to this one young sister up in Toronto. Her name was Tanis, and she was a college student. And I said, "Wow, you're here today." We were worshiping in Toronto. She said, "Well, she had to get up early to catch a bus and take that bus so she could connect to a train that could bring her to services." "Wow, you must have got up pretty early." "Well, yeah, no big deal." Then this congregation I'm going to be going to in June, we were having a call and talking about some of the things they want to talk about in that series of lessons. And I just happened to ask, I said, "Jeff," I said, "so how far did the farthest members travel to get the services?" He says, "An hour and a half." "An hour and a half, I could be in Louisville." You know, but the point is this, traveling distance to go and worship God is not that big of a deal to people who have their heart right, who want to do what is right. Now, I'm not saying he went to Jerusalem, he worshipped, and he was faithful to God at that point. We know that's not the case. But I'm wanting you to see that even this individual understood that it's not that big of a deal. He was willing to make that trek, just like you and I are willing to do so also. So that's one of the first things that jump out to me as we read through this, as this person who worshiped. We're gathered here today, and we're worshiping God. So worshiping God in and of itself doesn't mean we're faithful, but the faithful do worship God. We get that point. Well, there's something else in verse 28 that we learn about this person that's worthy of noting, and that should be seen in our lives too. What did he see that was important? Well, if you read verse 28, it says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Buddy, you just went to worship. You put in your time. You don't have to read anymore until the next time you go to worship. Reading the Word of God was very important to this person. Reading God's Word is important to you and I. We just enjoy reading it. That's the bottom line. We like to go into the Scriptures and say, "Well, you know what, Chuck, and you, I read my Bible, or, you know, surely there's something on TV. Surely there's something on Netflix or YouTube or something I could be doing. There's all kinds of activities that go on in this world." Well, that's true. Do Christians actually, are there people who actually just sit at home or while they're traveling? I don't mean not while you're driving, but the point is, while you're traveling, or you're someplace. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. No, actually, you know, people who worship God and are true worshipers are people who just have God on their mind. Reading His Word is something that they enjoy doing. They like to do that. Even if they've had a busy day, a quiet moment, a quiet time where they can just open up their Bibles and just read. He said, do people do that? This man did it. This man, he just likes to read the Bible. In this case, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And in Colossians chapter 4, we just find that Paul is admonishing the brethren. Here he says, look at verse 16. Now, when this epistle is read among you, are people just going to listen to the word? Yes. When it's read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from the Laodiceans. Well, no, we just want to read the letter you sent us. No, you read the letter I sent to them too. Well, of course we're going to want to do that. I'm interested in that. Just like I've told you many times from this pulpit, we read other people's mail all the time. So when we're reading Corinthians and Thessalonians, that was a letter written to specific people. They wouldn't call them epistles, but they're letters. We enjoy reading the Word of God. We need to be like this man, just wanting to study the Scripture. Is that you? Does that describe you? That there are times when we're not here and we're Chuck asks you or Mike or somebody's teaching a class to open up your Bibles and read. Is that the only time? Of course not. We enjoy reading the Word, and it's helpful to us. But there's a long list of lessons. I've got to go back to Acts chapter 8. It wasn't just the reading that was important to him. Because there are times when people will go to worship or maybe even read at home. I've read some scriptures. I try to read, you know, X amount of verses a day. Well, that's wonderful. But to take it to the next level, we find in verse 30 and 31. Look at this. So Philip ran to him. I'm back in Acts chapter 8. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides him?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Did you get that? He asked Philip to come up. Look at verse 34. Then the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?" I have some questions. I don't know, and I'm going to ask some people. I had a lady wrote me this past week and used a long set of questions, and I have been dealing with the questions that she's had, and I've sent her some TV programs that we've had, and that's been helpful, but all that did was stir up even more questions, and so she got another long list, and I want to help her. And it's great that people are reading the Word, but it isn't just that. You know, some people are comforted by saying, I read my Bible. Okay, that's wonderful. That's like people saying, "Why go to worship?" Yeah, it's nice to go to worship, but just worship in and of itself isn't going to be good enough to our Lord. Unless we're right with Him, which we're ultimately getting to in our lesson. "Well, I read my Bible." Well, that's good that you read your Bible. But do you understand it? See, this person is saying, "I have some questions. I have some questions about that." I don't know if you have any questions about the head cover. We're going to be dealing with that tonight. You know, people want to know. They want to discern the Word of God. And we don't want to get stuck on the first two points and be content with the fact that I go to service and I read my Bible. No, we really want to learn it. For example, you can read and read and read and not get it. And we know that from 2 Timothy chapter 3. You've heard this verse before. Listen to it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." There are people that just never get it, because if you really don't have a desire to think this through and to get into it, you know, this person's paying attention. He's paying attention to the reading. This Ethiopian, he's like going, okay, now this person, he's talking about somebody, I know that. Is he talking about himself or some other man? Now, I wouldn't be sarcastic if I was Philip and I was the preacher. I wouldn't have been sarcastic. I'd say, "Oh, you picked up on the fact he's talking to somebody. Good for you." I wouldn't belittle him that way. But it's something worth noting. He is paying attention. He's right there. He's following along. That's what people do. Worshippers of God, people who want to truly worship Him, want to read His Word. And they want to read it, and they want to grasp it. They really want to understand the meaning of it. What is it actually teaching? I want to understand that. And that's what you and I are to be like. We're just not going around telling everybody that I have a Bible. You know, where I go, where I worship, we read our Bibles. Okay. They all do that. Okay. They all have Bibles. They all read their Bibles. I have a little problem with that understanding aspect. But I'll tell you this much. There are some that even get it. There are religious groups that are off, but some of them get it. But they just don't want to implement the next point. And what's that? Accepting. Believing. In other words, you can sit there and go, "Oh, I see what he wants. Okay, I'm not doing that." No, see, we're talking about a person who's reading the Word here, and he's listening. I get that. And even from this Acts chapter 8, let's just go back there. Because this Ethiopian, we were told that Philip started right there. And it said he preached Jesus to him. Now, as he's hearing this lesson, he's believing what he's hearing. Now, I know it's a separate point. I'll talk about it in a moment. But when he turns around, he says, "Well, hey, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Oh, so you believe what I'm teaching you about Jesus? You're believing that I'm teaching you about that he is the one that back there in Isaiah? That he went like a sheep to its shears? I mean, a lamb didn't open his mouth? I mean, do you understand that he died for you? Are you getting this? See, he's believing the message. That's one of the great things about the Word of God and how it affects people. But the point is, he's willing to accept that. He didn't have this attitude, well, I worship God. Okay, well, have you obeyed him? What do you mean, have I obeyed him? I traveled all the way to Jerusalem and worshiped him. And now you're telling me, you know, I have to obey him? He's getting that. See the progression here? I think about God. I want to worship God. I want to listen to him, read his word. I want to comprehend it. And I just don't want to comprehend it. See, a lot of people comprehend this book because you don't want to know why? Because I've seen Jeopardy. I've seen Alex Trebek ask people, you know, Bible questions. They have a lot of Bible questions up there. And people are just like, they get it right. See, there's a lot of people up there that have Bible knowledge, but they treat this like some textbook. And they're just like, memorized it, and you can have all that information, and you know, but they don't believe actually what it says. There are religious leaders. There are certain aspects, and I've even had a guy quote me one time. Well, I know that's what it says. I don't actually believe it, but I teach it because that's what they want me to say. You don't have any conviction. You don't even believe what you're teaching. You get anybody up here behind this pulpit, folks, who doesn't believe what he's teaching, give him another pulpit. Believe it. That's the point. Understand it. Comprehend it. But have that willingness to believe it. Now, that's what James chapter 1 was talking about. Over in James chapter 1, when he talked about in verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. That perfect law of liberty, that message that has been believed, we're going to continue in it. Because we are of the persuasion that we believe what it says. It's important to us to accept it. It's important to us. So we read in the perfect law of liberty, and so we, even us as God's children, we go to 2 Corinthians 13:5, and it says, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. So we read and we compare our lives with it because accepting it is important to us. If accepting it isn't important to us, we're just going to come to church services and leave. Come and leave. Come and leave. That's all we're going to do. Not read, but we might read. We might read, but not comprehend. We might not comprehend it, but we're reading it. And we might comprehend, but we won't accept it. We won't believe it. We won't actually believe what we're reading. But we, as God's people, know there's more to it than that. And that's why we examine ourselves. Because this Word of God, I believe it with all my heart. This is truth. John 8:32. You can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It isn't just quoting that verse that sets you free. It isn't just understanding that sets you free. Remember that, guys. It's knowledge is great, but you know this place is on fire, and the fireman says, this place is on fire, and I see the smoke, and I that's great that he told me that, and I heard it, and I comprehend it. You know, I understand exactly what you're saying, sir. Thank you very much. This place is on fire. Okay. Well, do you believe it?
No.
You believe it. Yes, I believe it. That obviously leads you to the next point. But people won't stop. And that's why it's important for us to go through all these and to see that how people are comfortable stopping at certain areas. Oh, I'll always worship. There are people go to church and don't carry a Bible. Not even a Bible. Or people will come to church, have a Bible in their hand, and never open it. Or people do that and they'll open their Bible and read it. But not comprehend it. Or might understand, but not believe it. Good message. I understand what you're saying today, Chuck. Excuse me. Water. Comprehend it? I don't believe it. I don't want to do it. See, that's the next point. You see, in 35 and 36, it says, Philip opened his mouth and began the scripture, preached Jesus to him. And then they went down the road. They came to Siloam, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I want to be baptized. I want to obey. Now, he had to comprehend and understand that there are things that could prevent you from obeying. He understood that. What could hinder you? It's all part of that knowledge process here. Well, he understood it. Because he says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized. He obeyed. That's just one aspect that we do, but you know, that's the thing about all of this. Obeying is important. When people hear that word and they respond to it. Like, for example, Acts 2, verse 37. They heard the word, they believed the word, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, he obviously had heard some message, some of God's word. But he just didn't rely on that aspect. Because in verse 30 it says, when he came in to the cell there, Paul was, he brings them out and says, what must I do to be saved? He wants to be saved. Where'd you hear that? Do you believe you need to be saved? Well, you don't ask, I want to be saved, unless you know you're not saved. And so there's that understanding there. I want to obey. There's that eagerness that is there. I like that. You know, sometimes, though, people get that eagerness to obey without understanding. I don't know how many of you guys have encountered this, but I've had a lot of people tell me, because I'm a preacher, some people come up to me and say, oh, my granddaughter's getting christened. Okay. You know what that means? You have any idea from a biblical standpoint? That's not there. Okay. You know, they're doing something. They're doing something. Or they'll say, I'm getting baptized next week. I've had actually people tell me that. Hey, me and my family, we're getting baptized next week. Well, Chuck, isn't that what you're talking about? They want to do stuff? They want to do? But you know what? If you don't have the knowledge, zeal without knowledge is not good. That's what Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 is. You establish your own righteousness. We just don't want people just doing stuff without authority for it. We don't want people not doing stuff because they know what the Bible teaches. But you need to have that active, obedient faith that he's talking about here. And I see it right here. We all need to see that we are in control. Every one of us here are in control of obeying our Lord. For you to obey the gospel. Well, I'm just waiting for mom or dad to tell me, go, it's time. What? No. You know. You are in control of that. You make your own decision. This man, he's sitting there understanding, there's water, what hinders me. He's not one of those guys who goes, what hinders those guys from all that? You ever hear that? You know, people say, you know, I wish so-and-so was here. You know, we learn, we grow, we apply the lessons from the things that we study. And so for you and I, now is the time. We do what is right. We make that choice, just as he did. I'm going to do it. I am going to obey my Lord. And he did. He submitted himself to the will. He wanted to become a Christian. He wanted his sins washed away. And that's exactly what he did. End of story, right? Chuck, good. You got 5 minutes left. Sorry, another point. You thought a record was going to happen. But the point is here, with all of these points, this man, a worshiper of God, which you and I want to be, we're here worshiping God today. We've read the word. You've understood it. You believed it. Many of you have obeyed it. I want to encourage you to obey. But to me, we better not stop. Because you know in verse 39 it says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And guess what? He went on his way rejoicing. When I think of that, I think of Acts chapter 2, a little bit later on. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. These people were a happy people that they obeyed. You don't want to be somebody who says, well, I worship God. I didn't want to. Weather was kind of bad today. I didn't want to worship God. No, we want to. We're happy. We rejoice in serving God. In this case, the person obeyed the gospel. He didn't regret it. Those that gladly received the word were baptized. When a person understands that and has that appreciation for the word and his understanding is there, there is genuine joy in knowing that we have pleased our God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing the word, Romans 10, 17. We are pleasing God today. We are a happy people. Folks, you're worshiping God today. There's not a smile on your face. There's something wrong. Now, it might not have been a smile on your face when we were around the Lord's table. Mixed emotions, right? Mike mentioned this idea. It was because of our sins that he goes there. That's sad. But we have hope of eternal life because our sins are gone. That's a happy thing. Glad he went to the cross for us. Sad that he was sinless and he had to die in my stead. Mixed emotions there. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. I want to ask you folks, what is your joy based upon? What really brings that inner peace, that joy? Folks, it's all that we've talked about today. That's the key to all of this. That's why we walk out of here, we're a happy people. I know there are people today who are happy outside the Lord. I know that. But I'm not dealing with that. I'm talking about somebody here who decided, I am going to put the Lord first, because you know what? I wasn't going to just go through the motions and go into Jerusalem and worship. I am going to go into Jerusalem and worship. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to continue to read His Word. I'll pursue answers to my Bible questions. I will believe it if I see. I will believe it. That's what they did in Acts 17. They searched the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. So, that's what I want you to do. We've had people here ask me questions. What are you asking questions for? They want to know answers. What do you want to know answers for if you're not going to obey it? And what are you going to do? What's the sense of you obeying it and you're not happy doing it? There's no joy in serving the Lord. Folks, I think many of us here can identify with the Ethiopian. That's us. That's great. That's wonderful. Let's keep it up, because it's not a one-time thing. Worship God once, you're done. Okay? I put in my one worship. No. We're going to continue to do that, but we're going to continue to implement those other points as we go through life, from week to week, from day to day, as we continue to feed on the Word. Have that thirst, guys. Have that love for reading the Word, just like that man did. And look where it took him. He went on his way rejoicing. But make sure you follow the same pattern. Have you, number one, believed the message of the gospel? Two, have you obeyed it? Have you become a child of God? Have you become a Christian the Lord's way? There's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I'll tell you what can hinder you from being baptized. You want to go down a dry center and come up a wet center? Don't understand what it's all about. That's Acts 19. You had people there who didn't understand what baptism was, but they went ahead and got baptized anyways because they thought this way was the right way. They found out it was wrong and they had to do it properly. You want to know, we'll sit down with you, we'll show you. If you have that desire, we're here to help. Now, for those of us who've obeyed, let's continue to read, comprehend, believe, obey. Be faithful till death, Revelation 2:10. And heaven will be ours. But the invitation is to you. And if you're a child of God that's gone wayward, come back, get back on track. If we can help you in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song of Acts.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I still will follow.
thank everyone that's able to be here this morning. I want to thank Chuck for that lesson for this morning, and looking forward to the lesson that he has prepared for tonight. Is there any other announcements or anything that needs to be brought to our attention before we're dismissed? If not, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Our dear and most loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We recognize you as the creator of all life and the sustainer of all life. We're so thankful, dear Father, for all the many wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Especially, dear Father, for the spiritual blessings. We're thankful for our family here, dear Father, the body of Christ, which is the brothers and sisters of Christ. And we're thankful, dear Father, for the head of our family, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're so thankful for this privilege, dear Father, that we have of being a member of this spiritual body, dear Father, and you being our God, and we being your children. We're thankful, dear Father, that you are watching over us each and every day. Each and every step that we take, dear Father, we pray that we will always keep you first in our hearts and in our mind to continue loving you, dear Father, and to love one another as we love ourselves. We pray, dear Father, for those that have not yet obeyed thee, and each and every one of us, dear Father, has a loved one, dear Father, that has not yet obeyed thee. We pray, dear Father, that something might be done or said where they will recognize the error of their way and want to turn to thee, dear Father. We pray that we will be a good influence, a good example, that we might help them, lead them to you, dear Father, while there's still yet time. We don't have much time, dear Father. You haven't given us much time compared to all eternity. But what time we have, dear Father, we pray that each and every day, each and every hour, we will try to do our best for you, to serve you. We're so thankful, dear Father, for the tools that you give to us to reach out to those that are lost. We pray that we will not grow weary in well-doing and using each and every avenue that we might have to reach out unto them. We're so thankful, dear Father, for our progress that we're making in our new location. We pray, dear Father, that as the days go by, wherever we meet at, that the most important thing will always be that you are our God, and you are in control of everything. You know what is best for us, dear Father. And be with us as we depart from this place. Pray that we might be safe to meet here at the next appointed time, it would be thy will, and forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.